The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Wait a minute. Jesus is in the synagogue, and he is reading God's word that prophesies about him. God's word from the prophet Isaiah. And because Jesus is there, everyone is supposed to be nice, aren't they? They're supposed to be friendly and warm and sentimental since Jesus is on the scene. Because after all, he's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? He's the one in whom God's peace is proclaimed, the one who won peace with God for us. So how did this come to happen? That there is Jesus in the synagogue, and suddenly all hell breaks loose, and people are out to kill him, throw him off a cliff. They are filled with wrath. Boy, Jesus needed to read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, apparently. What was it about Jesus that so infuriated the people? Well, let's not just talk about those people in the synagogue in Nazareth almost 2,000 years ago. Let's talk about us. Because again, if God's word only has meaning for way back then and not now, it's pretty pointless, isn't it? But God's word does have meaning for us. God's word of law, by which he shows us our sinful nature, by which he exposes that sinful nature and the enmity in that sinful nature against God and against his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and then exposing our sin, leading us to repentance. He proclaims the gospel of forgiveness to us. The gospel of Jesus Christ, because gospel means good news, and if it's good news, it's all about Jesus, about what he has done for you by his holy life, and by his agonizing death on the cross, and by his resurrection, and yes, by his presence among you in your very midst today in his word. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is the light of the world. In this Epiphany season, we celebrate and we rejoice in the light that shines in the darkness, that the light that shines upon you and me and our sin and our death. And that's what is happening in the synagogue in Nazareth. As was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Think about that. It's amazing. God in the flesh doesn't say, well, I'm God. I can take a day off. I don't need to hear God's word. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who feared and loved and trusted in God above all things, the only one, and he did it for you and your salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has never despised God's word, never neglected to hear it, but honored it, held it sacred, and gladly heard it as a youth, and gladly proclaimed it as an adult. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus, and he stood up to read. And he unrolled the scroll, much as we read from a lectionary here in the divine service, and much as I walk over to the gospel side of the chancel to proclaim and read the gospel to you. There was ceremony in the synagogue. There was ceremony in the temple. Don't think for a minute that the people did their own thing, whatever they wanted to. They followed order, and we see that order in Jesus Christ. He unrolls the scroll. He finds the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And you know what? Messiah, Christ, mean the anointed one. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit at his baptism. He who was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary is anointed with the Spirit and proclaimed to be God's dear Son, the one whom we are to listen to, the one whom we are to look to as our Savior. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news, that is, gospel, to the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That word poor in the Greek means beggarly, totally destitute, those who lack every righteousness before God and are dependent upon his mercy and his grace if they are to know God at all. This is why Jesus came, to proclaim the gospel to the poor. And blessed are you if you count yourself as poor in the things of God, but rich in the gospel through the mercies of God and the forgiveness of God and the salvation of God in Christ Jesus. Our Lord went on to read, he has sent me to proclaim or to preach liberty, freedom to the captives, freedom to those held bound by sin and death and the devil, freedom to those who could only look forward to God's judgment unless God had acted on their behalf in Christ Jesus. He has sent me, Jesus says, to proclaim recovering of sight to the blind. And he who opened the eyes of many blind people in the gospel has likewise opened your eyes in the proclamation of his saving grace. And in your baptism into Christ, he continues to open your eyes as you and I sometimes go our headstrong ways, feeling our way around in a world of darkness, taking the wrong turn. But through the light of God's word, the path before us is illumined. And that path is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the path, the road, and the truth, and the life for you. He came to proclaim liberty to those who are oppressed. We know that what that word oppressed means, to be weighed down, to be burdened, to be afflicted. And so it is with Jesus Christ. You and I have many afflictions. You and I have many things that oppress us, not merely in terms of our sin and the death that looms before us, but also in the troubles that we, even though we are God's saints, experience daily in this world, the accusations cast against us, the financial difficulties we have, the family worries we have, the anger that threatens to rise up within us and overwhelm us. But Christ proclaimed liberty to those who are oppressed. And on the cross, he took every oppression upon himself for you. He was oppressed with the burden and the guilt of your sin. He was oppressed with the punishment that you deserved on account of your sin. He bore your death. He bore all of your sufferings in life. And he triumphed over these by his death and resurrection. And in his gospel of forgiveness, you triumph too. Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's grace. And God's grace, his favor, and his mercy toward you aren't just for an instant. They aren't there for you only as long as you can keep yourself holy and pure and avoid all sin. They are there for you because you and I, in ourselves, cannot keep ourselves holy and pure and free from all sin. Only Jesus could. And he has done it for you so that he might be your Savior. Not just for an instant, not just for a day or two, but your whole life long until you are gathered into the church triumphant with the triune God and all the saints in heaven. And then Jesus said an amazingly remarkable thing. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, the acolyte, and he sat down. Now, sitting down was the position, the posture for preaching back then. And even today, the word cathedral comes from the Latin word cathedra, which means the seat the bishop, the overseer, sat upon when he preached. We stand up today, and that's fine. God's word doesn't dictate the posture of preaching, but it does say his word is to be proclaimed. So Jesus sat down, and all the eyes in all the synagogue were fixed on him. And here is what he began to say to them. Today, this scripture, this word of God has been fulfilled in your hearing. Right before your very ears, as I read this word of God, Jesus says, I am fulfilling it. He is the one who fulfills all righteousness for you. He is the one who fulfilled all the demands of the law for you. All of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation is focused on Jesus so that you could be made wise for salvation through faith in him. You can almost see the people nudging each other. Hey, that's Jesus, hometown boy. Doesn't he speak well? But wait a minute. That's Joseph the carpenter's son. Hey, he's no one special. What is this he says about fulfilling the scripture? Jesus knows their hearts. He knows their murmurings. And he says to them, okay, I'm sure you're going to quote to me the proverb, physician, heal yourself. I'm sure you're saying, well, what we have seen you done in Capernaum, hey, do it here in your hometown as well. And he says to them, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. See, Jesus read their hearts. He knew what was in their hearts. He exposed what was in their hearts so that they would repent, so that they would believe in him. And if they did not repent, if they refused to believe, then there was only the condemning law for them. And Jesus told them something else, that they should not think they were someone special just because he grew up in Nazareth. They should not think they were anything special just because they were in the synagogue as faithful Jews. No, he says, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine all over the land. But Elijah the prophet was sent to none of these widows of Israel, but only to a Gentile, a pagan, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And in Israel, back in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers who needed cleansing, but none of them was cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian, the Gentile, the pagan. Jesus was telling them that proximity to him did not save, that they were not acceptable to God on account of their nationality or ethnicity or their denomination, you could say today, or their family. They would be acceptable to God only in Christ. And that's what drove them over the edge. And that's what drove them to try to throw Jesus over the edge, over the cliff. They were filled with wrath against Jesus, against the very Son of God, the embodiment of God's word, the embodiment of God's salvation, the one who would die for their sin of rebellion and unbelief on the cross. They tried to throw him down the cliff, but he passed through their midst because his hour had not yet come. Christ alone is your salvation. It's not based upon who you are or who your family is or how long you have been a member of this or any Christian congregation. It is based upon Christ Jesus and what He has done for you through His gospel and what He has given to you in your baptism and in your instruction and in the teaching of God's Word and in the absolution that you heard today and in this proclamation of God's Word. And next week, and at least through the Easter season, in the Holy Supper of His body and blood, faith looks to Jesus alone. Faith confesses Christ as the Savior. Faith casts aside as dung everything else and trusts in Jesus and His cross and His resurrection and His gospel alone. Now, unbelief despises these things. Unbelief says, I'm a good person. Yeah, I mess up, but I'm good. I give to the church. I'm there every Sunday. It does no good apart from faith. Remember what we sang before the gospel reading and the Alleluia? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And if we erect anything in the place of Jesus, be it family or our pedigree, or the amount of money we give, or anything else, we have erected a false god. We have erected a barricade that keeps us from Christ and His grace. And if that's the case in any Christian congregation and among any Christian people, then the truth is, and it's a blunt truth, that congregation and that people may as well go to hell. But see, Christ came to deliver us from that hell we deserve. Christ came to open the eyes of the blind. Christ came to proclaim good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are captive to these things. Christ came for you. You are forgiven. You are free in Him. You are made alive in Him. You are a new creation in Him. And it's because of Jesus. So, hear His word gladly. Receive His gifts gladly. Be at one in the gospel, not in yourselves and in your own persons and in your own vocations and your own economic statuses or anything like that, but one in Christ. For that is true unity, the unity of those who are being saved. The unity of those who confess the triune God. The unity of those who say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is my honor and my delight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.